When I was a kid at school, learning the golden rule, teacher often used to say, if you don't tell a lie, there's not a reason why you can't be like Washington someday.
Oh,
could Washington be a married man and never, never tell a lie?
Beyond Reproach. This is Stephanie Domingo.
And Tux Lerzel.
Oh, shit. I don't know where I am.
Oh.
I'm in Ohio. I don't know whose land I'm on. God damn it.
Well.
I will figure this out, y'all. I'm sorry. But Tux is in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Coming to you on land belonging to the Ojibwe, Ottawa, Potawatomi, and the Wyandotte Nations. These nations are just some of many still out there doing their thing, and we'd like to acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm.
This is the mini-sode, y'all.
Tis the mini-sode.
We be doing whatever we want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we be drinking and swearing and just, yeah, having no format
for you. Or for suckers and old people.
We are. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
Finally.
Saying what everybody's been thinking all along.
You are a truther in that respect.
Yes. I like to think of myself as a soothsayer.
Ooh.
As someone who says sooth.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I was just going to say that I just learned something new about you, and that, you know, you learn something every new.
How dare you?
I think, did we talk about this on the podcast?
I don't know if we ever did.
Yeah, we went upstate, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
It was the first year we went upstate, 2020.
Oh yeah. So 3 years ago now. Jeez Louise. Cause this was year three. 2020 was.
No, it's year two.
Well, there was 2020, 2021, and 2022.
I hate you. Right. Okay. Oh my God. Oh. But yeah, Tux had, it was our, we were up there for a week. This was our last day. You were driving back and like, you were kind of delirious and tired.
Yes.
I don't even remember what we were talking about.
I have no idea, but I was definitely like sleep deprived and you know, hungover or whatever. We'd kind of stayed up too late and partied a little bit the night before. And then I had to drive, like, it's a long drive. Yeah. 5 hours back to the city. But then we were in the car and I don't remember what we were talking about. And I tried to say, you learn something new every day.
Yeah.
I just said, you learn something every new.
And now it's just a thing that I say.
Yes. Yeah. To me. To
yeah. To you. Me. You're the only ones. Well, now the audience, y'all are also in on the joke now.
So y'all will be learning something every new.
Yes.
Today, I'm not going to be talking about politics.
What?
Nope, it's not happening. I'm just talking about things that are topical.
Okay, I'm into that.
I'm going to be talking about Halloween today.
Ooh.
Yeah. So every year around this time, we start to hear people talking about how there are evildoers out here in these streets.
Yes.
Giving tainted candy, poisoned candy, apples with razor blades, that kind of thing.
We love a moral panic.
These innocent children are just going to be poisoned and sliced up by evildoers. And the latest Halloween fear, the latest and greatest everybody's been talking about for the past couple of years, is people giving kids edibles instead of their like Reese's cups.
Oh my God.
That people are going to be giving drugs to children in the
wasting good drugs on stupid children.
Yeah. We have to say
Dare.
edibles are fucking expensive.
Yeah. Very.
They're not cheap.
It costs a pretty penny.
Ain't no one wanting to waste their money getting some snot-nosed 8-year-old in a scream mask high.
I like that you think there's an 8-year, I mean, I'm sure there are 8-year-olds. That's like so young. But that was like you at 8.
In a scream mask. Oh, kids love scary shit. Little kids do.
Okay.
Yeah. There's like, I always see Instagram videos of like little girls that are obsessed with Michael Myers and stuff.
Yeah.
But at any rate, people are not giving their edibles to children. They're keeping those edibles for themselves.
Yeah, they're not even giving that shit to friends.
No, nope,
so why would they give it to a child?
Yeah, unless there's like some like millionaire who's bored and wants to get children high.
Okay, so I did hear that there was one. I recently heard this on a podcast. There was one guy who put candy laced with laxatives, and he gave it to kids, and that was like the only thing that was true. Okay. That happened this one time, and he was like a dentist. And I'm like, that makes sense because he hates
kids.
I think they do. I mean, that's been my
especially
experience.
For Halloween. He's like, I'll show you ruining your teeth on Halloween.
Yeah, that's and funny. he got in trouble. I don't think he went to jail, but like he was like fined, and he's just like, oh, my bad.
Yeah, oops. Well, I'm going to be talking about the few instances that are legit. I did not read about that one, but that doesn't mean it's not true. We'll have to look into that. I'm going to have to do my own research.
Do your own research. I heard it on a podcast, therefore it's true.
Yes, exactly.
No, it was on Vox. They have people.
Okay. Yeah.
They pay people to do their research. Yeah. Yeah,
it's real. So yeah, every year parents are urged to check over the candy that their kids bring home at the end of the night. No one is allowed to eat homemade treats anymore, which used to be a thing back in the day, but no one's allowed to do that
candied
anymore.
Apples.
You can't eat candy that isn't individually wrapped anymore, which seems to me like a scam perpetrated by the candy manufacturers.
Yep.
Big Candy is out here to get you.
Milky Way.
Yeah, trying to make you think that your kids are at risk.
Big Sugar.
Yeah. So I was kind of just wondering, like, why are we like this? Who hurt us? Where did this all come from? So I decided to look into it, and it turns out that most of it is a result of bad journalism, fear-mongering, and societal nervousness, and like other things that are going on in society that people are worried about tend to snowball into this like other pretend things to be afraid of.
Okay.
Because we like can't handle what's really going on, so we're like, the children, you know.
We do that with everything. Yeah. We get really close to the truth, and that scares us, and we like pivot, and we talk about something that's adjacent.
Yeah.
And we throw all of our energy into that.
Exactly. Yeah. So a lot of this all started in the 70s. In October 28th, 1970, the New York Times put out an op-ed that suggested the possibility of strangers using Halloween trick-or-treating as an opportunity to poison children.
But why though?
I don't know. To sell newspapers, I guess.
Oh, okay. This
editorial mentioned two unconfirmed incidents and offered a series of frightening rhetorical questions.
Oh no, no, they didn't.
Yes. The author pondered, for example, what if that plump red apple from the, quote, kindly old lady down the block
have
a razor blade hidden inside?
That's where this came from?
Apparently, yeah. The New York Times in 1970. There were almost no confirmed facts in the article. I mean, it was an op-ed, but yeah, readers saw this as like definitive fact. It was the New York Times. This is supposed to be like a reputable source of news and information, and they're just out
That
here.
Was always such a weird one, the razor blade in the apple.
Like, you wouldn't see it?
Yeah, number one, you wouldn't see it, and wouldn't you hurt yourself putting it in there?
Totally.
How many, like, that would take a lot of time, too. It's like, what, you get like 10 kids? That's like an hour's worth of work.
It doesn't make any sense. What are they going to do?
Sense. Yeah.
They're going to like cut their lip or something.
It's And like kids love apples as opposed to candy. Like, fuck this apple.
Totally. That kids came up with that one as a way to like, they're like, I'm not eating apples.
It's not safe.
Yeah. But so this sort of like kind of kicked off this whole weird fear of like candy being dangerous on Halloween. And by the 1980s, there were some other incidents. And by the 80s, some communities were banning.
But like incidents? Like real incidents, though?
I'll get into some more of what had happened in a bit. There really wasn't. It was mostly unconfirmed rumors and a lot of like urban legends that people just believed. There wasn't really much truth to any of this stuff. But so by the 1980s, some communities had banned trick-or-treating altogether across the country. Hospitals in certain cities were offering to X-ray Halloween candy in case there's like something dangerous and sharp and pointy in your candy. Parent-teacher associations across the country were encouraging fall festivals to replace Halloween. In 1982, a community group in Long Island gave prizes to children who stayed home on Halloween instead of going out to trick-or-treat. Also in 1982, the governor of New Jersey signed a bill requiring a jail term for anyone caught tampering with candy, which is like you're correcting a non-existent problem. But
it's like voter fraud.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You're making it worse. You're making people afraid of something that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And then in October 1983, advice columnist Dear Abby published a Halloween-themed column called A Night of Treats, Not Tricks. In the column, she said that she wanted to, quote, remind readers that, among other things, somebody's child will become violently ill or die after eating poison candy or an apple containing a razor blade. 12 years later, another advice columnist, Ann Landers, who happens to be Dear Abby's sister. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. Ann Landers wrote...
Nepotism.
Yeah. Wrote another Halloween article titled, Twisted Minds Make Halloween a Dangerous Game. And what? In the article, it said, quote, in recent years, there have been reports of people with twisted minds putting razor blades and poison in taffy apples and Halloween candy. It is no longer safe to let your child eat treats that come from strangers.
Wow. This is really sad.
And there was like, there's no truth to it. There was nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This makes me sad. There's this, the fact that people are afraid of their neighbors.
Yeah.
And you're afraid that your neighbors are going to hurt
strangers.
Your children. Like, it's never been true.
Yeah.
Yet people believe it.
Yeah. It has to, you know, it's all sort of stems out of bad journalism and fear mongering, sort of speculation.
Yeah.
And honestly, just a lot of bullshit. People spinning yarns. So I wanted to try and dig a little deeper and see if there was any actual evidence of any poisoned candy, tainted candy that was making kids
drug-laced candy. Sick.
Yeah, drug-laced candy.
Get the fuck out of here.
Is there any evidence of that? We will find out after this short commercial break.
Yeah.
I'm Natalie.
And I'm Cass.
And we're the hosts of Shared History,
a comedic history podcast exploring the stories of the often overlooked or underrepresented.
The people and events your history books may have glossed over, whitewashed, man-washed, or left out completely.
From the Mayan creation myth to the Deaf President Now movement of the 1980s.
From ancient scientist Avicenna to first female principal chief of the Cherokee Nation, Wilma Mankiller.
If you saw it in a footnote once,
or have never heard of it,
we are here to share it with you.
Join us in a rotating guest list featuring scholars, writers, teachers, entertainers, entrepreneurs, subject matter experts, and more.
Tune in to Shared History on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, you know the drill.
And follow us at Shared Pod on Instagram and Twitter.
And as always,
share you later.
A pair of sociologists and criminal justice experts were also wondering the same thing, if there was any real evidence of any of this stuff actually happening. And they conducted a like an extensive, almost like 30-year study to try and identify any like accusations or reports of any of this kind of activity and then track it down and figure out where it came from and if there was any truth to it. And they conducted this extensive study on so-called Halloween sadism and concluded that most of the reported cases that they investigated turned out to be complete bullshit, that there was like nothing to 99% of the stories that they heard. The reality is that fears of Halloween sadism tend to rise during fearful times. They started in the 70s during Vietnam. Mm. They continued when like Nixon resigned and everything sort of seemed to be like spinning out of control. People got really worried about like innocent children and not being able to protect themselves and all this stuff. Kind of went away a little bit, but then paranoia about tainted candy spiked again in the early 1980s after a series of Tylenol poisonings. This actually did happen. Somebody was going around tainting bottles of Tylenol with cyanide. And a few people actually did die from this.
Whoa.
No one ever actually figured out who was doing it or why. It was it's sort of unsolved to this day. But this led to the introduction of childproof and tamper-proof containers for over-the-counter drugs and tough federal laws aimed at punishing anyone who tampers with
drugs. So were there children that died or adults?
I don't know if there were children. I didn't actually look into this. I had heard this story before, but I don't know if it was children or if it was just adults or whatever. But it did happen and people were really freaked out by it, understandably so.
Yeah.
So after this happened, then all of these warnings about adulterated Halloween candy also exploded because people were just like paranoid about everything being dangerous. So while most of these fears did have more to do with just sort of like these general societal woes, there have been a few Halloween crimes involving poison that have occurred. In 1964, a woman in New York was arrested because she was handing out things like ant poison, the little like traps, and dog biscuits to kids for Halloween. When the police arrested her, they questioned her and she said that she was just joking around. She didn't actually intend anyone to eat any ant poison, that she was just giving those kinds of tricks instead of treats to kids that she thought were too old to be trick-or-treating. So she was get out of
here. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
So yeah, they wouldn't eat it because they're older and they know better.
Exactly. Yeah. So no one was actually poisoned. It's weird that anyone even called the police on her in the first place. But
it's trash.
But the most infamous Halloween poisoning happened in 1974 in Texas on Halloween. 8-year-old Timothy O'Brien actually died after eating pixie sticks that were tainted with cyanide.
Stop it.
Yes. 4 of Timothy's friends also had the poisoned pixie sticks in their bags of candy. His younger sister even had the poisoned pixie sticks in her candy. Luckily, no one else ate them. I mean, it's terrible and tragic that Timothy died, but no one else did. One of the kids, an 11-year-old, apparently had tried to open the pixie sticks, but couldn't get the staple undone. Whoever did it had like put the cyanide in and then stapled it closed, and the kid couldn't get it open.
Yeah.
But then when Timothy died, the police investigated and took the rest of the candy, so no one else ate it.
Did they find the person?
Yeah, so police investigated, and they discovered that Timothy's father, Ronald O'Brien, had recently taken out a huge life insurance policy on his kids, really close before this. He killed his own son and was trying to poison his daughter, too, to get the life insurance money. I guess he was in debt or whatever. He was convicted. Yeah, I don't know. I read something that said...
Oh, my God. I don't care why he did it.
He was trying to dig himself out of debt, but I don't know if they were sort of like just saying that or if that was, either way.
It doesn't matter.
He
tried to kill 2 of his children.
Yes.
To claim money.
I know. Convicted of murder in 1984 and executed by lethal injection.
Texas.
Yeah, exactly. Texas. So this, this story is super tragic and obviously caught national attention and everybody was freaking out.
Yeah, people are afraid of their neighbors and not their own
parents. Exactly. Yeah. And this is the only real known example of anyone ever intentionally poisoning Halloween candy and giving it to neighborhood trick-or-treaters.
See, they should tell this story every Halloween, but they're not gonna.
Yeah. So after nearly 30 years of investigating these stories, this sociologist that I talked about before has not been able to identify a single other confirmed example of a stranger trying to murder a child in this way. Not a single one.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's wild. I mean, I guess it's not surprising. I always knew that it was lies, especially I didn't know that they were saying that people are putting drugs in candy, but the razor blade thing never made any sense. I'm like, this is a lie.
Yeah.
I'm calling bullshit.
I think people are just like, a lot of people that are anti-marijuana legalization.
Yeah.
I don't think they're saying that people are putting drugs into candy. They're saying that like the edibles look too much like store-bought candy so that people who have edibles are giving that to kids instead of candy, because kids won't know the difference. But like we said, edibles are fucking expensive.
So expensive.
It's not happening.
Yeah.
That's completely ludicrous. You know, no one is trying to get your kids high.
Yeah.
Calm down and let your kids have fun. But
if you're like, yeah, if you're an older person and you hear anything referencing drugs and you get scared, they probably believe this. But like anyone like our age, we're just like, no.
No, it's
they're ridiculous. Not giving kids. Yeah.
But this shit spreads on drugs. Social media. I'm sure that there's plenty of parents out there that are worried about this shit, because people, the police departments, local police departments are always posting this shit on social media. Like, be careful. Look at your candy. Don't look for like the little weed symbol on your candy and blah, blah, blah. Like,
my God.
Yeah. So people get scared. But yeah, I'm just, you know, I wanted to debunk any myths and nincompoopery and just, you know. Just tell people, like, calm down, take a chill pill, eat an edible.
Yeah.
And let your kids have fucking fun on Halloween. Stop being a, you know, a buzzkill. It's a holiday. It's kids' favorite holiday. They get to dress up and go get candy for free. Let them do it. No one is trying to get your kids high. And the only person who wants to kill your kids is you.
Yeah. Truly. The person who's going to harm them is someone in their circle. It's not going to be a stranger.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be somebody they know.
Yeah. That was really good. That was, I learned a lot. Again, I always knew that it was bullshit, but I didn't know that a child actually died. But when you said that he died, I'm like, it was their parents. I'm like, this was a JonBenet Ramsey sitch. Like, I have a feeling that fuckery was afoot in that household. And I was right.
Yeah. For the record, it was her brother.
What?
JonBenet Ramsey. It wasn't the parents. It was the brother.
It was the brother?
And they tried to cover it up. But that's my opinion, because nobody knows for sure.
Wait, now I'm confused. But it was the parents who, it was the
who
dad
who got up.
Who got the life insurance, though. You're saying the brother took out a policy?
Oh, no. JonBenet Ramsey, not.
Oh, okay. Oh, it was the brother. Oh, I never heard that theory.
You don't listen to enough murder podcasts.
I was about to say, I'm not a true crime girl, like at all. Like I'm a baby. I'm a scaredy cat.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that she had a brother, but yeah, I guess that could make sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you for that. It feels very topical.
Halloween-y.
All of our listeners who are into spooky season will be thrilled by you going and talking about Halloween.
Yeah, deep dive in spooky season.
So yeah, our drinks are empty. Thank you so much for listening to Beyond Approach. This has been Stephanie Domingo.
And Tux Lerzel.
Thank you to our new audio editor, Dev. We could not do this without him. Thank you.
Could not.
All right. Bye, y'all. Happy spooky season.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Goodbye. Thank you for listening to Beyond Reproach. Please note we are not historians. We are just a couple of drunks who never shut up and love history. A full list of all source information can be found in the show notes on our website. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. Written reviews are especially important. If you like us, please do one of two things. Leave us a written review on Apple Podcasts or send this episode to a friend, family member, or someone who you think would be into it. Don't forget to follow us on social media. And make sure you follow us on Instagram, because we post our cocktail recipes the Thursday before each full episode. Please drink along with us if you're not driving. We also have a shop on beyondreproachpod.com. Get your merch, brand yourselves. We also have exclusive content on Patreon, where you can directly support the production of our show.